Blog Talk Radio.
God has just been
dropping in my spirit desperation, counterfeit, desperation, counterfeit. The flesh don't care. The flesh don't care. And so as I'm trying to get these things, these are nuggets that's dropping in the spirit, and I'm just trying to capture them. And a lot of times when God begins to speak to me or reveal things to me, they're, you know, at the time it may not necessarily make sense because I'm just getting bits and pieces. And then it's up to me to take time to be still, to get into his presence, to begin to understand what is he really saying. What is the message that he needs for me to convey? What is the message that he's trying to tell me? Again, if you've been following me for any amount of time, most of you know that Thursday night show is not, it's not because I'm a preacher or I'm a teacher or I'm an evangelist or I'm a minister or I'm a bishop or apostle, any of those titles. I'm really not into titles at all, even though by title I am an ordained minister, but I'm really not into the titles. I don't care nothing about the titles, you know, and I know for some theologians that probably just stepped on their foot. But at the end of the day, if you got a title and you still operating without the mind of Christ, if you got a title and souls are still not being saved, if you got a title and you don't even know how to master your own emotions, or the lust of your own flesh, then guess what? It doesn't matter. So I'm not concerned about the titles. My concern and my only mission is to do what God has called me to do. And I believe that he has called me to continue to host Processing the Pain. He has called me to be transparent about the trials and the tribulations in my own life. He has called me to be transparent on how he chastens me, how he corrects me, and also how he rewards me. You know, God is not this mean God that just constantly chastising his kids. You know, he also loves on us and he blesses us and he gives us his grace and mercy even when we're undeserving. He, you know, he's a loving father. And I was talking with a friend of mine this week, and the friend says, you know, isn't it funny how once we mess up, he said, don't you know when people mess up, they sure get super-duper holy or spiritual? And I thought when he said that, my thought was, well, I don't know if it's super-duper holy or religious, but I know when I mess up and I finally get it that I'm messing up or I messed up, I'm running back to my Father. And I'm trying not to do anything that remotely looks like I'm getting ready to mess up again. I'm not trying to do anything that would knock me out of his presence or knock me, you know, knock me out of alignment so that I'm not hearing him, that I'm not, you know, with him, that I can't hear him, that I can't feel him, you know. So, yes, I guess in a sense we do because it's just like the natural father when you think about it. When you were a kid and if you grew up in a household with your parents and, what was the first thing you did when you went out there, you know, when you went out there and got in trouble? I'm thinking for me, you know, you think about the kids in the neighborhood and somebody wanting to, you know, they want to take your ice cream from you. So they all get around you and they start teasing, talking, and jump on you and take your ice cream. And what's the first thing you do? Run to daddy, run to mama. Same thing in the spiritual. When we out there and we decide to get out there in that world and we let the world, the cares of the world overtake us, when we finally come to our right mind, we run back to our Father. And so it's no different. So on tonight, we're going to be, the name of tonight's message is, God, I just went blank. Hallelujah. I want you guys to be praying for those of you that pray in the spirit. I want you to be praying in the spirit on tonight. I know God has a mighty message. And I know that when he has a mighty message that's going to produce breakthroughs for people, the enemy will start being, you know, throw distractions. So tonight's message is desperation breeds counterfeits. Desperation breeds counterfeits. If you've been following me for the last 8 years, I probably ministered on this before, but not like the same. It may have the same title, but God has broken it down to another degree. And so we're going to talk about counterfeits. We're going to talk about tonight, how do we avoid counterfeits? How do we identify counterfeits? How do we, how do we avoid desperation? Because when we're desperate, we'll get ourselves in situations that's not Gaga. How many knows that? How many of us been desperate to pay a bill and didn't have the money? What we do? In some cases, we went out there and we did whatever we thought we needed to do to make sure that need was met. We didn't trust God. We didn't go to God and say, Lord, I need you. First thing we did was go to our flesh, our own mind, our own wisdom, and we did something that probably was not in order with God. And the end result was maybe that bill did get paid, but then we might have had all kind of other headaches on the back end, all kind of other consequences on the back end. Yeah, so you paid the electric bill $100, but now you got to deal with maybe you went and bartered and trade to get the money, and now you got to deal with this person that you got the money from. All kind of things. So let's get into it. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get your pens and paper. We are going to be getting some scripture. I'm going to be bouncing around here. Normally I lay a foundation, but tonight it's not going to be a foundation laid. I thank God to bring it all together, and I believe it ain't no thing. I know God will bring it all together. So I'm just going to pray first and ask him to bless his word that he has given. Father God, we just thank you for your word on tonight, Father. Father God, we open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us on tonight. Father God, we pray that we could take away from tonight some golden nuggets, Lord. Father God, that we will learn how to have the mind of Christ. Father God, that we will learn how to operate according to your will, Father God. Father God, that we will die to ourselves so no longer that we live, but Christ lives inside of us. Father God, that we could avoid the counterfeits in our lives, that we could avoid the pitfalls, that we could avoid the headaches, Father. Father God, but that we could just keep our hearts and minds stayed on Christ, Father, so that we would be able to make decisions with godly wisdom. So, Lord, we just thank you. I pray that you would bless this word, and I pray that you would bless each and every one that is listening in tonight live and those who will listen in later. Father God, that this not just be another word we hear, but, Father God, that it will be a word that will come through with your anointing that breaks every yoke, that it will be a word that will deliver us. Father God, that it will be a word that will set us free. Father God, that it will be a word, Father God, that will transform us by the renewing of our mind. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So again, tonight's message is desperation breeds counterfeits. And I'm going to break that down because I want us to understand. I'm tired of us just speaking words. It's just speaking words. And we sit down and we take notes and we sit in church and we sit at conferences and we just hear words. We hear a bunch of words. And oftentimes we really don't even have a good understanding of the words. So let's break down something first. So I'm going to start with anxious, because desperation is going to, we'll get there. So anxious, wanting something very much, typically with a feeling of unease, experience of worry or nervousness. Anxious. It's when you want something so bad you become anxious, you feel worried, you feel nervous. Now think about it. When you think about what the definition of anxious is, does that even sound remotely like God? Because I don't think that God would require us or want us to be worried and nervous and fearful about something. But that's what anxious is. And it's unfortunate that the devil has come into the earth and he's lied. He's told people running around here on anxiety medicine, and he's cast the spirit of anxiety on them. And people are really, it's a real thing to those who are dealing with it. And so I'm going to pray tonight even for them, keeping them in prayer, people that's dealing with anxiety, because it's not of God. And God doesn't want us to be operating in uneasiness and worry and nervousness. Philippians 4:6 tells us not to be anxious for nothing, for anything or anyone. So I'm going to repeat that. To not be anxious about anything or anyone, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So God is already telling us. He's already showed us.
anxiety, anxiousness, that's not of God. That is definitely a flesh thing. That's definitely something of this world. It is not of God. He tells us in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, in what some situations? No. And just the situations that's urgent. No, he said in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Anxiety, most all the time, leads to desperation. Anxiety, most all the time, leads to desperation. And so we want to make sure that we don't want to be anxious. We want to make sure that we are not being anxious, which leads to desperation. And desperation is what leads us to some of the situations we get into. Desperation is what leads us into the counterfeit. Desperation is the loss of hope. So when we anxious, and anxious leads to desperation, it's because we lost hope. And anxiety will cause us to lose hope. Anxiety will cause us to surrender to despair. It will cause us to, to surrender to despair. And so we don't want to be anxious, and we don't want to be desperate. Counterfeit. Let's understand that. So we're gonna put it all together. We talked about what anxious is. We talked about desperation. Now we're gonna talk about counterfeit, and we're gonna bring it all together. I'm having a little technical difficulty. If you all would just give me one quick second, I think I'm having a difficulty with my. Just 1 second. Okay. I'm sorry, everyone. I apologize for that disruption. I had a little situation here that I need to. Okay, sorry about that. I apologize. See what I said? Told you guys to be praying in the spirit. The enemy is busy on tonight. The last thing he wants us to do is get set free. The last thing he wants us to do is get delivered, and he is busy. So I'm just going to get back on track, Father. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us on tonight as you bring forth this message. So we get into counterfeit. Made an exact imitation of something valuable or important with the sole intention to deceive or defraud. Fake, not real. So counterfeit, we already know, is not the real deal. It's something fake. It's an imitation of what's real. And so when we become anxious, and then anxious leads to loss of hope, we surrender to despair. So now we're operating in desperation. What does that look like, Coach D? That looks like, for example, there's a lot of singles. There's a lot of singles believers. I'm only talking to believers. If you're not a believer on tonight, you are more than welcome to listen in, and maybe by the end of the show you'll be a believer. But I'm talking to those who say they are believers, that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a many of Christian singles that's out there. And if they're not careful, they become desperate because they desire so much to be married. They desire their wife. They desire their husband. And so they become, they become anxious. They get too anxious about it. Next thing you know, they're out there and they're looking, and they pretty much did everything but put up a sign and said, pick me. I want, pick me, I'm looking for my husband. Or pick me, I'm looking for my wife. So they become anxious, and what that happens is they become desperate because they want this so bad. And because they want it so bad, they're not willing to line up according to God's will, because it's going to be in God's timing. Is it really something that God desires for you, or is it just something that you desire for yourself? We're going to talk about that. So we get desperate, and next thing you know, you're desperate, and now what? Desperation breeds counterfeit. The enemy could spell desperation 10,000 miles away. The enemy could smell desperation. He's an expert on what desperate look like. He's an expert on what anxiety look like. He's an expert. And when he sees it, he sends his imps. He sends his imps in to start doing what they do. And he will take even people that are believers And if they're not careful and if they're not guarding their hearts and minds, guess what? They could be used. They will be used by the enemy to come in as a counterfeit. They will be used as a, oh, she's beautiful. She goes to church. Oh, she, you know, looks like she's praying. Looks like she got a prayer life. Lord, I know that's my wife. And then the next day when you go in for the kill, because now you're saying, hey, this is my wife. She had already checked out my checklist. We ain't said nothing about that. My checklist. She's beautiful. She's in shape. You know, she has long, beautiful hair. She's kind and she's gentle and she prays. So now she done met the whole thing on your list. And the next thing you know, you get with her and you find out that this is not the list you had in mind. She was nice in the beginning when you know, she would cook home cooked meals and get them dropped off to you, you know, and you just thought this was it. And then you come to find out that you done found out that she got five or six other profiles on dating sites. She's half naked on them sites. And you done found this out because one of your boys and met up with her or seen her on the site and started dating her. So now you done found out that you've been hoodwinked, as they say. You didn't have a counterfeit. And that could work both ways. I'm just using examples. Another counterfeit, you know, another counterfeit could be if somebody that sold you a friend. We're gonna clean up your credit. We're gonna get your credit clean. It's nothing wrong. I think that's integrity to want to make sure that your credit is in line, to make sure that you got a good, you know, credit score, to make sure that you're lined up because you want to be credible, you know, and I believe that lines up with the word of God. He wants us to be honorable. He wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to, you know, if we have bills, he wants us to meet our bills. I'm sure he don't want us writing balance checks. I don't think that would be lined up with the word of God. So he wants us to be honorable. So you go and you get connected with somebody that's cleaning up credit, and you give them a few hundred dollars to clean up your credit. But then the next thing you know, which started off, you know, the next thing you know, you find out that you didn't give them this money. It didn't clean up your credit. It didn't clean because you didn't read the fine print. The fine print was that it might take 7 years for them to clean it up. The fine print was, well, we could clean up everything except for child support. Or we could clean up everything except for student loans. You get where I'm going? So if you didn't read the fine print and they failed to share that with you, now you didn't reach the counterfeit. Now, we get ready to try to identify. First of all, in the natural, we know when they talk about counterfeit. Let's talk about brands. Most brands have identifying the counterfeit. Counterfeits generally have a mark. It could be a label, a marking, a logo, tag, serial numbers that are not consistent or that are consistent. I'm sorry. And oftentimes, those things are difficult to duplicate. I remember back in the day, a lot of people were bringing over and selling Louis Vuitton. This was way back in the day in the 80s, and Louis Vuitton was a big thing coming out then. And everybody wanted to have Louis Vuitton because if you had Louis Vuitton, it meant you were somebody. You know, it means you had something. And so everybody wanted Louis Vuitton. So once the counterfeiter got hip to his big money in Louis Vuitton, they began to not make what they call knockoffs. And I remember people were buying them, and how you knew if you had a real Louis Vuitton versus a knockoff where there was a little stamp that was on a tab on the purse. It was a stamp, and that's how you knew you had a real Louis Vuitton. And it's likewise in other brands. You know, Nike is the swoop, you know. Levi, how do you know you have a real pair of Levi's? And I'm not sure that a counterfeit couldn't counterfeit this, but one of the ways you know is a few identifying marks. You know, they got the little red tag in the back. It's not glued on, but it's sewed in the crease, in the seam of the pocket. You know, there's another leather thing patch on there, and that patch has some identifying numbers that tells you that this is a Levi brand. So brands do. They have things that will identify and help you identify that these are actually the authentic of what you're trying to get. When the children of God are believers, are believing God for various things, they too, we have marks. We have identifying marks. There's identifying marks for us to know what is, you know, what's real and what's not real. And how we do that is, first of all, being children of God, there's a mark. There are certain things that we'll know if what we're getting is what God desired for us, or if it's something that the enemy has brought to distract us, to throw us off path. You know, the biggest mistake that we make as believers is depending on our carnal mind. Depending on our carnal mind. We use our five senses. And we can't, as believers, we cannot depend on our five senses. Our five senses is good for smelling something somebody's cooking in the kitchen. Our five senses is good for smelling, ooh, that smells good, the food in the kitchen, or, oh, that perfume smells good. You know, our five senses is good for looking out and seeing the sky and thinking, oh, my God, look at God's creation. It's beautiful. But we cannot depend solely on our five senses, and oftentimes we do, because what we normally do is that it's pleasing to the sight, it feels good to the touch, it smells good, it tastes good, and it sounds great to our hearing. So if it sounds good, looks good, yes, smells good, feels good, then guess what? We think it's good. And oftentimes we'll move from that. We're going to move on that because my five senses have just confirmed my belief. We put away our whole entire belief system, which should be based on the word of God, and we'll start operating in our five senses. Ooh, I want that. That looks good. And we know if you get what you want, oftentimes it's going to come with disaster. How many of us know if we sit up there and eat a half a pecan pie, we're going to have some issues? How many of us know if you're lactose intolerant, you sit up and drink some milk or eat some ice cream, you're going to have issues? See, so we know that everything that's good to us ain't good for us. And so that's why God really wants us to have the mind of Christ. He doesn't want us operating in the five senses. The five senses get the children of God in trouble every time. I don't care where you go in the Bible. You go from Genesis all the way to the end of New Testament, the same thing. Every time people got in trouble, it was the five senses. Adam and Eve got in trouble. Why? Five senses. Abraham got in trouble. Why? David, woo, got in trouble. Why? It's always the flesh. It's always the five senses that gets us in trouble. His children would operate in the mind of Christ according to Philippians 2:4. What does that look like? So that sounds good. That sounds good, Cody. The mind of Christ sounds good. Yeah, it sounds good. But really, what does that look like? Right now, it just looks like, okay, the mind of Christ, it sounds good. I'm going to repeat it. It's a cute cliche. But do I really understand what that looks like? What does that mean? Because if I can't see it, I can't do it. If I can't see it, I can't do it. It's hard. And I know this walk is a walk by faith. It is. But it's, when we're able to see, when we're able to get a perception, it makes it so much easier for us to do it. Why? Because we're so dependent on those senses. So we're going to break this down. What's the mind of Christ look like? But we'll get an understanding. Because if we can get into the mind of Christ, guess what? We won't have any more counterfeit incidents. Why? Because we're no longer operating in our own mind. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to tell you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to break down from chapter 2, we're going to break down verses 5 through 15. Not going through every single verse, but there's some key points that I was able to identify that's going to help us to understand what the mind of Christ looks like. What does that mean for us? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start the first point that I found. stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. And it tells us that in verses 5 through 6. It reveals that to us in verses 5 through 6. But the first point is that I'm going to let you take that. Well, mark it down so you can go back and read it. Make sure it jives. Make sure I'm just not posting. I'm not just telling you something. But go in there and study to show your own self the proof. Study to know that it's right. He said 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, it tells us that the mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of men. In other words, the wisdom of men have nothing on the mind of Christ. It's total opposite. They're opposing. Point two, the mind of Christ involves wisdom from God, once hidden, now revealed. So in other words, to have the mind of Christ, you have to have godly wisdom. And it was a time where that was hidden, but now it's revealed. So we have the ability to have godly wisdom. Amen? And that was in verse 7. Verse 7 revealed to us about the godly wisdom that was once hidden that's now revealed. Number 3, the mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. And that's verses 10 through 12. The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. So that's telling us something else. Because if it's given to believers, that's a key thing right there. Is it given to everybody? No. Is it given to the neighbor? No, not necessarily. Because it says it's given to the believer through the Spirit of God. So you have to be a believer in order to operate in the Spirit of God, to have the mind of Christ. Number 4, the mind of Christ cannot be understood by those without the Spirit of God. I just said that. So if you're not a believer and you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, guess what? You cannot have the mind of Christ inside of you. And even some people who said they're believers are still not functioning in the Spirit of God in them. Because they're why? Because they're overruling with their carnal mind. Number 5, the mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters. But that's in verse 15. The mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters. It is important that we have the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment will show us things. It will drop things in our spirit. You know, and all we have to do is ask God, Father God, show me. And if the Spirit of God, you're a believer, as a child of God, you have the ability. Father, show me. I have not always said that. There's been some decisions I made, things that I wanted, that I just went unconscious. And I got those things because why? I wanted them. Didn't consult with God, didn't ask God to give me revelation knowledge, didn't ask God, is this what he desired for me? It was what Coach D desired. I wanted it, and I went after it, and I got it. And guess what? In most cases, I got a whole lot of headache and heartache with it. So we got to get to a point in our walk, we got to get to a point in our life where we no longer want what we want. That we no longer want the desires of our heart. See, you get to a point in the walk when you begin to embrace the mind of Christ that you want what God desires for you. So now God's desires become your desires, not your desires become God's desires. Because at the end of the day, God created us. He knows exactly what he has for us. He knows what we can handle, what we can't handle. He knows the plans he had for us, according to Jeremiah 29:11. So if he knows all that and he created me, then I need to start trusting him. I got to trust, okay, Lord, what is your plan? Help me to desire what you desire for me, Father God. Now as we can see, to have the mind of Christ, we would have to have saving faith in Christ. What does that mean, Coach D? So to have the mind of Christ, we have to believe that he is. And so it tells us that when we believe that he is, being born again believers. It tells us in John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the question I ask you on tonight, are you a child of God? How do you know that you're a child of God? Romans 10:9-10 tells us, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Number 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, if you could, and that God raised him from the dead, that he came here and he died and he rose again for your sins, then you are saved. And you now are a child of God. And you have certain benefits and certain rights as a child of God. First of all, you have the right to experience and walk in the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Because Jesus told us when he left, when he rose again and he went and he seen his disciples, and he told them that he's leaving a comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit has been put in us to guide us and to direct us and to bring to remembrance things for us. It's there to help us. Without that, we can't walk this walk, period. You can't walk this walk without it. Because why? We're in the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh don't know nothing about the Spirit. They are in opposition of one another. So if we're operating in the flesh and we haven't ignited the Holy Spirit within inside of us to help us, we're gonna keep doing stuff that we're doing. We're gonna keep sleeping with people that ain't our wives, that ain't our husbands. We're gonna keep running games. We're gonna keep tweaking numbers. We're gonna keep doing things. I'm saying all that stuff, and some of you might be like, "Oh, Cozy, I think you're doing too much." No, my thing is how do we know when it's counterfeit? We're gonna find that out. How do we know when it's counterfeit? So, first of all, we know in order to identify counterfeits, we first and foremost must be saved. Okay. Second of all, once we know that once we're saved, then we become the children of God, according to John 1:12. We also know that if we're saved and we're children of God, that we also can have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in us, you, me, that was also in Christ Jesus. So now we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, we're going to think like Christ, right? We're going to start doing things. Yes, we're still in the flesh. Yes, the flesh is there. The flesh is going to act up when it's going to act up. But when we have the mind of Christ, we know how to counteract that. We know how to be able to, when we get certain thoughts, the Word of God tells us to cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God's Word. It tells us to take into captivity. What does that mean? Take into captivity. Take into control those thoughts. Cast them down. You know, you don't have, you know, it could cross your mind. You may not think that, but you could immediately reject it. You don't have to meditate on it. You don't have to have a conversation with it. You don't have to hold on to it. When it comes to it, you know it don't line up to the Word of God, let it go. I know this sounds so easy, but I would be lying to you if I told you that this walk is easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. And just because you say I do, just because you say I'm a believer, just because you say this, and just because you say that, you're trying. That's what you got to just keep doing. You got to keep going. You got to keep trying. Because just because you say that don't mean that you won't be attacked. It does not mean that weapons won't form. Weapons are going to form. But God promised us that they wouldn't prosper. Your weapon might form. You may feel the sting of it, but guess what? It ain't going to kill you. It ain't going to prosper. It's not going to take you away from God. Why? Because you're operating. You're daily trying to operate in the mind of Christ. You're daily trying to walk in the Spirit. So
so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. We are daily trying to walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? I'm going to tell you something, and let's just do real talk. My mentor tells me I'm always talking about real talk and keeping it 100. This is real talk. This is truth. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh, period. Period. With a T on the end, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no way. Why? Because you're sin. You're sin. Go look in the mirror and look at this flesh that you're in. That's sin. And so if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not spending time with the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, meditating on the Son of God, guess what? You're going to walk in the flesh. It's going to be hard not to do some stuff. You're not going to be able to not do some stuff because it's only by the Spirit of God that gives us the power to be able to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now, not only are we able to identify counterfeits, but what we desire from God will be lined up with what God desires for us. I said that. So guess what? Some of the counterfeit problems we get into is based on us wanting what we desire. But when we are lining up with God, so now his desires become my desire. So I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious for a new home. I'm just telling my testimony. I wasn't anxious for a new home. I had a home. I had an old home. I had an old townhouse. But I wasn't anxious for a new home. That didn't consume me. That wasn't all I was thinking about. Oh, I got to do this. I got to get the next best car. I got to get the next best this. That didn't consume me. And so I honestly believe that wasn't even a desire, I feel, for me. But see, God, when we just desire what God desires for us, man, he'll show out way better than we could ever think. You know, the Word of God said he does exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. I don't even know what to ask for myself because I can't outdo God. I can't outdo God. And every time the flesh comes in and says, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm long, oh, this, I'm, you know what? I just try to cast it down. Finances. I need finances. Because in the natural, I need finances because I got bills, right? We got bills. We need finances. I need that. But I also know that God knows what I need. And to me, if I allow my carnal mind to say I need finances, that looks a certain way. What does that look like? That looks like a job. That looks like a paycheck. That looks like a lottery ticket. I don't play the lotto. Everybody tell me I'll probably play it and win. But it looks like a lottery winning. It looks like a gambling winning. You know, that's what money looks like. I need money, so where am I going to get this money from? Oh, I need a job. So we'll go get jobs that God didn't tell us to get. Why? Because we need the money. And in our mind, that's what all we can see. But then God's mind is bigger. Why I'm saying that? Because, you may not have a job, but your needs are being met. All your needs are being met. You may not have a job. You may not have a traditional paycheck coming in, but you may be doing some things on the side that God opened up doors. You may be painting houses. That's not a traditional job, meaning you're not getting a paycheck, but because you paint good, somebody said, yeah, you need to get such and such a car. They paint really good. And then next thing you know, you're going over there, not even because you got a business. And they said, you know what, I need to get this room painted. I'm going to give you $500. Well, guess what? You needed $475 to pay for a bill. You never know. See, God works in ways. He orchestrates things. He'll even touch the enemy's heart. He'll touch somebody that don't even believe. He could use them. He used arrows. So he could use somebody that don't even believe to bless you, and they don't even know why they're blessing you. They don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. But God is using them, oh, Jesus, to bless you. Hallelujah. So we got to get the mind of Christ, and we got to trust that what God desired for us is what's best for us. Because the good thing about what God desired for us, when God gives us something that he desired for us, I don't know nobody that was never not pleased. I don't know anyone that was never not pleased. I've heard people give testimonies about their mate. And when they first met them, they didn't like them. They was too short. They was too fat. They was too light. They was too dark, whatever. And they was just like, ooh, that just wasn't what I thought God had purpose for me. 30 years later, they still married because God's plan works best. God's plan works best, and he knows what he has desire for his children. He knows the plans he has for us. He said there's plans to prosper us, his plans to give us a hope and expect it in. He knows what he has for us. He knows he created us. He's predestined us. He knows the plans he has. And sometimes we get before God. You know, we're on the path, but we're walking with him. Sometimes we get out of line. We get out of alignment. And then when we get out of alignment, we're doing stuff in our own will. We're out of the will of God. And then we're doing things in our own will. And then we want to come back and be irritated at God. Now you done got your feelings hurt. Now you done bought a car you can't afford. Now you done married a woman or a man that ain't what you thought. And it ain't, you know. And then we get our feelings hurt because we got out of the will of God. And it don't say that the things that God has desire for us, that they're going to be easy. Something in the Spirit just told me to say this. It doesn't mean that they're going to be easy. And I think we got this misconception that when God gives us something, that it's going to be easy. Faith without works is dead. God blessed me with my home. But guess what? If I don't pay my mortgage, it don't matter that God blessed me with it. If I don't pay my mortgage, I'm not going to have this blessing. You see where I'm going? God blessed me with a beautiful home. I know it was God that blessed me with this home. I didn't even imagine this home for myself, but he blessed me with it. But I got some work to do. What's the work? I got to keep it up. I got to be a good steward over what he's given us. You know, we got to be good stewards. I got to make sure that I pay the mortgage. I got to make sure that that is cosmetically in line, that the lawn is manicured, you know, that the plumbing and the electric and everything is running according to purpose. I got to make sure those things are taking place. You know, it would be foolish for God to bless me with this home and then I just lay around in it and I don't take care of it. That's not being a good steward. And God has so many things he want to bless us with, but he knows you better than you know yourself. Some of you are sitting out there talking about you want to be married, and you haven't even started preparing yourself to be a husband or a wife. Men, you out here saying you want a wife, but can you take care of a wife? If God sends you the wife, and it's not about, when I say take care of it, it's not just about finances. It's not just about material. It's like, really, can you take care of her? Would you be able to minister to her? To her emotional need? Would you be able to minister to her mental need? Would you be able to minister, you know, are you ready for that wife? Some of you, God gave you a wife because you wanted it. He gave you a wife, or you went and got one anyway, and you ain't with that husband. You ain't with that wife. So God is saying there's a lot that he wants to give us as his children. There's a lot that he wants to bless us with as his children. Some of us, you know, we don't understand why we see other people with a bunch of money and we don't have money. Then that's a conversation between you and God. That's a conversation. What is it? Instead of the conversation saying, why God, why not me? Why I'm not married? Why I don't have money? Why I don't have a good job? Why I don't have a career? Why I'm not this? The question should be, Father God, How do I get aligned? Father God, what do you desire for me in this area? Father, what do you desire for me? How do I get aligned with what you desire for me? And then you'll start seeing a whole bunch of things manifest. You'll start seeing a whole bunch of things. You'll start seeing things come to fruition. You know, you'll sit down and begin, you know, sit down, line up with God. Make a list and be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Make a list of everything that you desire. Make a list of everything that you desire. And I'm saying that you desire. And then what you do is you go through that list. And as you go through that list, find scripture. I'm going to challenge each one of you to write, make a list of everything that you desire. And then I want you to go through the list, you know, find your time during your prayer time, your quiet time, and go through the list and begin to find scriptures that support what you desire. And see if what you desire line up to what God would desire for you. And if what you want is not what God desires for you, then you need to do some soul searching, because that may be a thing you need to remove from your list. That may be a thing you need to remove from your list, because we have gotten deceived, church. We've gotten deceived into believing. We've been taught. It's been downloaded into us. It's been pushed on us, and it's an agenda. And the agenda is, if you name it, you could claim it. If you believe it, you could receive it. And that's not how God operates. But we've been under that kind of agenda that's been going on for the last 20, 30 years, you know. And that's not how God functions. Because when you talk about whatever I want, I could get positive energy, good vibes, and I could get it. No, that's not God. It don't even line up biblically to the word of God. Like I said, if you're not a believer and the Bible is not your foundation, then I'm not expecting for you to believe what I'm saying. But I'm saying that as believers, as children of God, and I'm saying Christian, because I know people, I'm a Christian. Why? Because I'm a believer of Christ. I believe that Christ is the Son of God. And so because of that, I'm a Christian. And a Christian means Christ-like. And that's the life I live. I live a life trying to be more like Christ. And because I live a life trying to be more like Christ, my navigator, my GPA, so to say, is the Word of God. It's the Bible. Now, whether it's a book missing, whether it was translated wrong, see, that's the problem. Whether it was translated wrong, the book is missing, that's none of my business. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So when I'm reading the Word of God and if something was translated wrong, guess what? I'm trusting that the Spirit of God inside of me will give me revelation on that. He will give me the true meaning of what that means. Again, as we said, with the Spirit of God, that we get these revelations. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, then you're not going to get the revelation. If you don't have the Spirit of God operating in you, then guess what? Yeah, you're going to be confused, and you're going to be all tripped up on the translation. You're going to be all confused and tripped up on the missing books. You're going to be all confused and tripped up on this and on that and on this, because you know what? You are being governed by the letter and not by the Spirit. And the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. And you need to be operating. We need to be operating in the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God that's going to get us through. It's the Spirit of God that's going to guide us. It's the Spirit of God that's going to tell us when something's coming towards us that's not God. It's the Spirit of God that comforts us. It's the Spirit of God that gives us peace that passes all understanding. It's the Spirit of God that tells us we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's the Spirit of God that helps us be able to keep our minds right. It's the Spirit of God. And so we got to operate in the Spirit of God. We got to be who God called us to be. We got to be conscious of the counterfeits that come along, and they come along to hurt us. When you go and spend $1,000 on a fake Louis, but I don't know. I'm not a name brand person. But I listen to people
people talk, and I know people who like name brand, and I'm not knocking people that like name brand. I'm just not one of them, you know. I'm not caught up on name brand. If I find something I think is cute and looks good on me, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? If somebody buys me a Michael Kors purse, I will receive it gladly in the name of Jesus. If somebody want to buy me some, what is it, Louboutins, red bottom shoes, if you want to buy me that, I would hope that you wouldn't. I'd rather have the money, because to pay $1,200 or $3,000 on a pair of shoes that I got to walk outside in the dirt and on asphalt with, I don't think so. Give me the money. There's 1,000 other things I could think of that I would like to spend that money on other than a pair of shoes. Now, I'm not knocking people that got that taste. If that's your taste and God has blessed you abundantly to be able to pay for that, glory to God. That's not a sin. But I'm just saying, you would be hurt if you spent $1,200 for those shoes only to find out it's counterfeit. Amen? So that's the point I was making. You'd be hurt if you spent $300, $500, $600, $800, whatever it is you spend on Michael Kors and Ann Taylor and Louis Vuittons and Chanel's and all this other kind of designer stuff. You would be crushed to find out that it's counterfeit. And guess what? I guarantee you that people who embrace brands, people who are serious about their name brand stuff, people who love that kind of stuff, it wouldn't be one that you could talk to that would not be able to tell you with a keen eye what's fake and what's not. They know. They studied it. They saved for it. And they know when something's counterfeit. And we, children of God, should be the same way. And I'm not saying a child of God can't have name brands. So I want to make sure. I don't go back on my, Coach D said you ain't saved if you get name brands. But as a child of God, the same way we can identify fake name brands should be the same way we identify stuff spiritually that's fake, that comes to us. We should be operating the same way. We should know when something's a counterfeit. Go into the world. Don't just take wood and nickels. Don't just be praising the universe and praising the vibes and praising all this stuff and all this stuff. Go into the Word of God and confirm. See what the Word of God has to say. And if it don't line up with the Word of God, if it ain't in the Word of God, which I doubt, then guess what? We ain't got no business doing it. It's counterfeit, period. It's counterfeit. So we want to make sure that we're lining up. We want to make sure we understand what the Word of God is saying to us. We want to make sure that, again, that it's not our will, but it's His will, according to Luke 22:42. Not our will, but God's will be done. We want to make sure that we want to know that we are in order, that we are lined up according to His purpose and His will for our lives. Do we always get it right? No, we don't always get it right. We don't always get it right. And I don't want somebody to be discouraged because they're thinking, oh, my God, I just screwed up last week, or, oh, my God, I didn't do this right. Baby, you okay? You're covered. It's not, you know, you're in the flesh. You're going to make flesh decisions at times. But the goal is that making flesh decisions should not be your habit. Making flesh decisions should not be your habit. Your habit and what you want to be trying to do is walk in the Spirit. You got to let the mind that's in Christ also be in us. Let this mind be in us that's also in Christ. Father God, we thank you on tonight. Father God, help us to walk in your Spirit. Your word says that we have more than enough ability to walk in the Spirit. Your word says that we have more than enough ability to have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we are children of God. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God present in us, Father. So, Father God, I pray that you will activate your Spirit in those listening in tonight who are your children, Father God. Father God, that you will renew them, Father God. Father God, that they will not be conformed to the ways of the world, but they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Father God, that they will not
that they will only desire what you desire for them, Father. Father God, I believe that the things that you desire for us is good things, Father God. It's things that are true, that's honest, that's just, that's pure, that's loving, and of good report, Father God. Father God, for those who desire marriage, Father God, I pray that they will line up according to your word so that desire could be fulfilled. Father God, for those that are desiring and need finances, Father God, I pray, Father God, that they will find that lined up according to your will. And, Father God, those needs will be met, like your word says. Father God, if there's people, Father God, that's dealing with abuse, substance abuse, Father God, people that's dealing with sickness and disease and disorder, Father God, we pray over them right now according to your word. Father God, we want to be children of your word. We want to be able to speak your word into every situation. We want to be able to speak your word, Father God, that's going to begin to transform some things for us. Father God, we want to be able to speak your word because your word is power, is life. You watch over your word to perform it, that it will not return unto you void, Father God. So, Father God, help us to be children that speak your word and only your word, Father God. Lord, I just thank you for each person on the show on tonight. Father, I pray that this word will penetrate in their hearts, Father. Lord, that it will stay in their minds, Father God. So, Father God, when they're struggling, Father God, when they're struggling to make self-decisions, Father, that this word will pop up, Father God, and it will remind them, no, I can't make this decision because I got the mind of Christ. No, I can't make this decision because greater is Jesus Christ in me than this evilness on the outside of me. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. It is power and it is life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Thank you, thank you. If you do, I'm going to take a moment because we do have a, I guarantee that we had a few minutes, but we really don't. But I'm going to be obedient. If you are listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment, or maybe you just need prayer, got one on your dial pad, and that'll let my team know that you have a question, comment, or you need prayer. I'm just going to give out a few seconds for anybody that may have something that they want to say. In the meantime, we are going to continue on Thursday night. I got some exciting things that's going to be manifesting in some weeks to come. And I hate to just, I'm going to stop talking about it and just be about it. Amen. So I got some exciting things, and I'm excited about the direction that God is taking it because I'm presenting everything before God, and I'm going to stop making knee-jerk decisions because of stuff I want or stuff that I desire, and I'm going to make sure that what I'm desiring and wanting is lined up according to my Father, which is in heaven. You know, Jesus was successful in his walk because why? He only did what the Father told him. Nothing more, nothing less. He only did what the Father told him. And I know we are not Jesus. I definitely know that, but we have the ability. We have the ability to overcome and withstand some things. That's one of the promises. That's some of the promises that we have as children of God. And I think tonight he showed us that we can identify counterfeits in our lives. We know bad and good. You know, we are able to know the difference between bad and good. We're able to know the difference when something's coming into our life as a distraction or if it's coming into our life to make us, you know, to bring us whole. And as I was saying, something was brought into our life to make us whole. And holiness, you know, when you think about holiness, when I used to hear the word holiness, you know, be thou holy because I'm holy, you know, that sounds like an impossible thing. You know, when you hear that, you know, holy, 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 you know, and you're thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I can really be holy. But when you look at it as being whole, when you look at it as being whole, or are you broken? You know, are you still struggling with the same stuff you've been struggling with, Jesus? Are you whole? God wants us to be whole. And being whole is knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. That's being whole. When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and when you get that word in you, and you just have so much of the word in you, that what comes out of you but the word. And I know I've been guilty of it. I can't talk for y'all because I know you guys are walking a perfect life. But, man, I've been guilty of not always, you know, not having enough word. I got word in me. But if you're not meditating on it daily, if you're not studying the word daily, you know, some of us studied it and we know it. We know the word. We, you know, we know the word, but you gotta, it's got to be renewed. It's got to be refreshed in you. You know, anything that you do repetitiously, you know, is easy. And then it becomes, you know, repetitiously, it's pleasurable. And then it, you know, happens, easy. Repetition is easy and pleasurable, and then often in habits. So we're building habits through repetition. And so we should never think that we know enough about the word of God. We should never think that we know too much, that we can't learn anything, that we can't grow, because we can constantly grow. You know, I mean, you both could, me and each one of you could read the same scripture, and we might all get different revelations out of it, you know. So you just want to make sure that you fill yourself up, because there may come a time in this earth where we don't have access to Bible. We may not have access to the Bible app on our smartphone. We don't know what times are going to bring. But we may not have access to a Bible. So you want to embrace it. You want to take advantage of it while you have access to it, because the time may come where you don't have access and you want it to be in your spirit. You know, I know the word, but there's often times that I don't remember scripture. You know, when I mean remember, I could tell you a scripture, but to be able to say, well, that's in Romans somewhere. I mean, I know some, but I could do better. And I need to do better, because there will come a time where we won't be able to have the access. So while access is available, utilize it before access is denied. Thank you all for tuning in on tonight, and I look forward to being with you next week. We already got a word that God wants to give to us on next week, and I just want to be a willing vessel to be used by Him. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.